Won't you take your copy of the Revelation you brought and look, if you would, in the book of Exodus. Genesis and Exodus. We have been journeying through these books. We have been in Exodus a few times over the last several years, and thankfully so. I mentioned a couple passages of Scripture over the last week or so for you to pay attention to go in and look at, that will help you with some understanding. So I'm going to add the book of Revelation to it. If you look in Revelation chapter number, you don't have to turn there right now, but just for your future reading, then there's going to be some parallels of some of these plagues that we're reading about right now in the book of Exodus, from the water turning to blood and the frogs and these plagues that we see that God is about to do and doing as we're reading through. And what we can learn from this is things from our past, things that are yet to come, and what can be right now. And what God was going to do with His people was going to deliver them. And that's what we want to walk in, the deliverance of the Lord. And all God's people said, the deliverance of the Lord. Now, the only way to walk in the deliverance of the Lord, you have to trust Him. You got to believe Him. Remember, what God does for us, God does for us so that He can do with us. What He does with us is what works through us to bring glory to Himself. The ultimate end is that God is glorified. God will be glorified with me or without me. And all God's people said, we can't change God's glory. We can't thwart His eternal redemptive plan. It's going to be accomplished. Now, the key is God has chosen to work with us. He's invited us to join Him. And something that's important for us to remember is this. Where are you going, Maddie Walker? Going to play?
Say, I'm going so y'all can hear.
What God does for us, and praise God, He'd do anything for us, amen? In the sense that what He does is done in His grace for us. And it's important for us to remember, God doesn't exist for us, but we exist for Him, amen? He created us for His glory, not that He exists for us. Life is not about us, it's about Him. And when I put that in proper perspective, that puts me in a position to put myself under the mighty hand of God and seeing that what He can do. And this is what we want to pick up on as we're reading through Exodus, is just the mighty strong hand of God. How he can turn events around instantly with a word. All He has to do is say the word and it's done. For example, you take all the waters being turned to blood. It was as God said it would be. And then God kept it from the children of Israel. And He's able to make a distinction in that. And that's important for us as we journey in through the book of Exodus to really pick up on, is that what may happen to one person or a group of people doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen to me, but what happens to me doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen to another. And that we learn this throughout the Scriptures, that sometimes bad things happens to people who are walking with the Lord, and then really good things happen to people who are not walking with the Lord. That's just the way life is. God reigns on the just and the unjust. Matter of fact, let's just look at it for a minute. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Look in Ecclesiastes. This is important for us to, I believe, to pick up on right now, because we learn in a principle. In Sunday school, we taught real briefly for the time that we took up to look at it, was how Moses was told by God to go deliver the people, and that God would do many signs and wonders through his hands. He went and encouraged the people. They saw what he could do, what God was going to do with him. But Moses didn't tell the full story of what was yet to happen. God told Moses in chapter 4, verse 21 of Exodus, that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh would not let the people go. They wasn't going to let them go. But Moses didn't tell the people that. As a result, when Pharaoh didn't let them go, what did it do? It crushed the people. They were upset about it. And they chose at that point not to put their confidence in Moses nor in what God said, because the hope that they had anticipated was prolonged. It was stripped from them simply because Moses didn't tell the full story when he went back. And it's important for us. Of course, when you're dealing with God, you can't tell the whole story because the story is just so big to tell. But we need to be upfront and honest with people that life is a challenge. And all God's people said, how many of y'all have a challenge with life? How many of y'all have a challenge from day to day? Is it a challenge to work with people sometimes? Is it a challenge to live with people sometimes? Is it a challenge to do things in this life? Does your body give you challenges that it didn't give you challenges years ago? Anybody can relate to that? Are you going through things right now physically, mentally, emotionally, and even at times spiritually that can cause anguish in your spirit and in your heart because of something's going on physically? Well, Ecclesiastes gives us a little insight on this that is important for us to remember, because we all have to face these things. If I've bought a set of lies, if I've been duped and deceived that things are always going to work out my way, I'm just setting myself up for a fall and for an upset heart. And it's just inevitable. And that's why Proverbs says that. Hope deferred, prolonged, makes the heart sick. When hope is not coming together the way that you thought it would, the way that you anticipated or you were told it would happen, if it's not coming together the way that you anticipated it to come together, it just kind of peels your skin away. It kind of strips your life away little by little to the point where you get to an anguished spirit and upset because you've been sold a bill of goods that were a lie and it didn't turn out that way. And a lot of people enter in relationships like that. They enter into marriages like that. They enter into jobs that way. They hadn't been told the full story. They get on a job and there's trouble there and there's trouble within the workforce. And all of a sudden they put right in the midst of it. They've been told everything was good and kosher and nice and all that. And they get in the middle of it. Now they got a job that, man, they wish they had never took because of the problems that with it. A lot of times people have been told that with relationships and marriages and sometimes future husbands lie to future brides, and future brides lie to future husbands. And when they get in a relationship, they're not what they said they were. And all of a sudden, it begins to crumble around them just because of false expectations of what was anticipated. And that's why some of you sat with me with marriage counseling and that kind of thing to look at some of that, because you know how important it is to realize that every one of us have a little baggage we bring into a relationship. And all God's people said, how many of y'all carry a little baggage with you? How many of y'all got a past y'all carry along from place to place, from time to time? And that doesn't necessarily mean what you did. It could be that what you've been taught, what you've learned through the years, how you've watched your father or your dad or your people around you, how they handled business, how they handled their money, how they handled conflict, how they handled communication. And you approach it from one side, your spouse is going to approach it from a whole nother perspective. And if you don't know all that up front and they clash in the middle without any kind of anticipation of what's to come, man, that shakes a relationship up because of these false expectations. So it's good to do the best that we can to clear the air when we can and lay it all out and not do what we've always done necessarily, but do what God helps us to see what is important to be done, because what God teaches us is wisdom. Doing it my way is foolish. And all God's people said, how many of y'all ever act like a fool? You know how you act like a fool? When you believe your way is better than God's way. That's basically acting like a fool. And Tammy's done it. Nick's done it. Pam's done it. Lucas has done it. Briggs has done it. Carolyn, you ever act like a fool?
No.
Carolyn! Carolyn! Boy, you better be glad Greg ain't here. We all have. Even smart Hannah back there has acted like a fool. Sweet Brandy's acted like a fool. Wise Davin's acted like a fool. Gentle Sandy has acted like a fool. And even Miss Sweet Barbara has acted like a fool. Are you with me?
I'm here.
That's just saying, look, that I think my way is better than God's way. And that's why we have so much in the Scriptures that teach us just that one principle, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? He'll direct your path. He'll direct your path. That's basically saying, don't act like a fool. Trust God. God sees things you can't see, knows things you don't know, understands things you don't understand, has wisdom to see through a thing, shows mercy when you would show judgment. He shows love when you would show hatred. He shows compassion when you show contempt. And He sees what we can't see. And we can trust Him in everything. And this is what He's drawing out for the people of Israel and demonstrating His power to Egypt, that He's trustworthy. You can, I can, we can trust Him with everything. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, let's see. Here's one of those things that we can watch the difference between Moses and Pharaoh and the people of Egypt and the people of Israel kind of unfold out of this. Verse number 10, let's just start there. There's plenty of places that we could start, but we'll just start there. Solomon says, "Then I saw the wicked buried." And the word wicked simply means those who are not right. They're not right because they're wrong with God, and they live in life characteristically as a fool, doing life their way. "I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of holiness." Notice, they're wrong, but they're going to religious activities, the place of holiness. They go into sacrifice. They go into the temple. They go into worship. There are people who show up to the church, but they still do life their way. Have you ever been that way? Where you gathered under the instruction of God's wisdom, but you still do life your way and pay little regard to the wisdom of God? You know how many times that happens day in and day out throughout the world, that we can get up in the morning, spend time with Jesus, read what He says, and then immediately go do it our way and not carry out. The key to the blessings of God is trust and obey. Trust and obey, to walk in, what to apply what God gives us. It's not that we can just say that we know Him, we know what He says, but we want to what? Apply His ways in everyday life. "They had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so." He says this is a vanity. It's empty. It's useless. Verse 11, "Because," here it is, this is applies to every one of us, "because the sentence," that which has been declared against a bad or evil work, "is not executed quickly. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do what is wrong." Meaning, because there's no consequences happening right now, we feel like we are what? Getting away with what we're doing. So we keep doing it. That's the problem. Y'all ever been doing something you felt like you was just getting away with it? Because there was no... What'd you do to that kid, Rusty? You look at that little kid. When we do things that are contrary to wisdom, but we're doing it our way, but we're not seeing the consequences of doing it our way, it seems like it's working out for us doing it our way, men's heart is set on just to keep doing it that way. That's the danger of it. Because you're not seeing the judgment of it. I'm going to keep doing this. I mean, it ain't hurting me. I'm not hurting anybody else. It's not a problem. I can get away with it. And God's not spanking me over it. God's not whipping me over it. Nobody else is whipping me over. And I'm kind of just easing through the crowd and nothing's coming my way. The problem is something is coming. It just ain't got to you yet. That's where the Scripture says we reap what we... See, God's got a principle. We're going to reap eventually what we have sown. All of us. You're just not going to get away from it. Whether you're right with God or wrong with God, We all reap what we sow, but men will set their hearts and continue to do a thing that is fallen, not of any value. For men has no eternal value in their life because the executed judgment on it doesn't come quickly. Verse number 12. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I will surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. That is basically just saying that sometimes those that fear God, bad things come their way while they are giving place to God, while you have somebody else who's just living recklessly and it seems like everything's working out for them at the time. Said that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Somebody doing wrong may be their days may be prolonged for years and times, and then you got somebody that fears God, and something seems terribly happened to them. Verse 13, but it will not be well with the wrong, with the wicked who have set their heart to do wrong, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, but he does not fear before God. Meaning, when it talks about him prolonging his days, he can't extend his days beyond his life, beyond his death. For the man that fears God, though he die, he still what? He lives. Dying, fearing God, is gain in this world. God is magnified in the death of his saints. So when you give place to the Lord, you have an eternal quality about your life, even though your life may be cut short on this earth. But though you don't fear God and you live an extended period of time, when you die, the only thing you can anticipate is facing a God without mercy. You can't extend that. The wicked man doesn't see that, though. He doesn't see that. He doesn't know what he's going to face in it. He just sees that he's getting away with what he's doing. Verse 14 says, there is a vanity which occurs on the earth. That there are just men, and a just man is a man that is just with God. He's right with God. He deals justly with other people to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. What usually or sometimes would happen to the wrong, it happens to the man that's right with God. Again, there is the wicked man to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this is also a vanity. He said, I can't explain it, but good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. When I say good people, none of us are good in of ourselves. And we all recognize that, right? We're talking about people that trust the Lord, take him at his word. You got Pharaoh here that we've been reading about. Pharaoh was an unjust man. Pharaoh's heart was hard. God was going to continually keep him from doing what Moses asked because God was going to do a mighty work in this to demonstrate his power. Moses was only right because God's grace was upon his life. Moses, no different than anybody else, no different than you and me. What makes a distinction in any of us is God's presence upon us and what he's done in grace for us. If without grace, We're none of us are good. None of us are the potential of producing good or doing good outside of God doing something in and through and with us. And that's why we then submit and give him glory and thanks for being willing to do anything with us. But bad things fall on people that are right with God. How many of y'all got a bad back right now? Raise your hand. How many of y'all got bad eyes? How many of y'all got a weak heart? How many of y'all got nerve trouble right now? Who's got, anybody got cancer, had cancer, had to deal with cancer? Anybody got diabetes? Don't be shy. Who overeats? That's a sin. And ain't it though? Good things happen to people that fear God, that walk with him. Bad things continue to happen to people that fear God and walk with him. Just inevitable. As a doctor, you see people that trust God, love him, walk with him, mission-minded, kingdom-minded, sacrificial, doing all they can, but they still got to come see you for problems, don't they? Every day. Why? These old bodies we have are fallen. These old bodies are corrupt. These old bodies will not inherit eternal life. We got to have a new body. Amen. These bodies are falling apart on us. And the longer you live, the more you're going to have go wrong with these old bodies. The longer you live, the more difficult and the problems you'll deal with people. The more difficult and problems you'll deal with children and their children and their children. It's just inevitable. The scriptures teach us very clearly that our days are brief, but they're full of sorrow. They come with a lot of pain and a heartache in this world, but we have hope. We have solutions. We have life in the Lord. So it's important for us to recognize that. Why? Well, let's just read just a little bit further in this and jump over to chapter number 9 and let's look in verse number 1. Solomon says, "For I considered all this in my heart." That's basically saying I've really pondered, I thought about it. Solomon was extremely wise beyond anybody else, so he thought about it under the sun from that perspective of wisdom. And he said, "I thought about it so that I could declare it all, that I could teach it all, that I can talk about it, that I can help other people, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." Just turn them over to Him. Even though you can't explain these things, even though they'll drive you mad, just turn them over. Turn them over to God. "People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them." Now think about that for a moment. People neither know love or hatred by the things that are before them. Where is all this generated at? Not what's on the outside of a man, but what? What comes from where? Remember Jesus said that a man is not defiled on the things that are outside of him, what he sees. Defilement comes from where? From within. Our hearts are defiled. Our hearts are corrupt. A man loves a thing because it's in his nature to love it. Man hates a thing because it's in his nature to hate it. It comes from within. That's why one man loves something and another man hates it. That's why there's so much differences in people and the way people approach life and look at things, because it's all generated from what? From within us. That's why we have other places. For an example, Proverbs 4:23 that says that we're to guard our heart. Why do we to guard our heart? Because out of the heart, all the things of life flow out of the heart. That means that we're to filter what comes in our heart, what goes out of our heart, by being in right relationship with the Lord, what He puts in my heart, so that I can view things from His perspective and not from a corrupt heart. Because just because I like a thing, just because I love a thing, doesn't mean that thing is right and doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. What's right or wrong is my heart and where it stands with God. So therefore, I need God's help to see how He looks at a thing and how He views it. And if I can't see it through His eyes, then how I view it is going to be messed up no matter how I look at it. That's the importance of hiding God's Word where? In our heart. Isn't that what the Psalm says? "I've hid your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So that I can see how you look at this, how you approach this, how you view this, and that I too can see it the way you see it. He says in verse number 2, "All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the clean and the unclean, to him who both sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner, he who takes an oath as he who fears an oath." This is a troubling thing, he says, is that under the sun that one thing happens to all. "Truly the hearts of the son of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live and after they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is still what? There's still hope." Praise God. As long as you still got breath, there's hope. Amen. There's hope for us. "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Now that's a neat thought. You take a dog and a lion are incomparable in what they can do and the viciousness of the two. You take a lion's a dangerous thing, isn't it? But a living dog, it's better to have than a ferocious lion fighting for you if that lion is dead. And as long as you and I have breath, we still have hope. We have hope for what? Hope to get right with a living God. hope to trust Him and to see things His way and to walk with Him, even though we got to face troubles in this life. What's the one event that comes to the clean and the unclean, the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous? What's the one thing?
Death
comes to all of us. Death comes to everybody. We're all on a crash course toward death, but it's what we do with Jesus while we still have life that makes a difference, not only in the life that we have, but in what's to come. And what we're learning with Pharaoh and all that is going on with him right now is that we see in these plagues, for an example, they start out. What was the first plague we read about? Remember Moses did what God told him to do, sent Aaron. Aaron threw down the rod and the rod turned into a big snake. And then the magicians were given authority to do the same thing and they threw down their rods and their rods turned into snakes. But Moses' rod did what? Ate them up. Moses' snake just grew, didn't he? So everything that they were doing, the magicians was duplicating. And think about that for a moment. That's kind of how, remember, Egypt represents how the world works and the bondage that we were all in the world, that we were held captive to it, that we got comfortable in it, that it became easy and convenient for us to function in the world that we were living in, that God was going to come and rescue us out of. And every time that Moses would do something, for an example, the first plague was, at Moses' word, he turned all the waters in Egypt into what? Blood. To the point that the fish died. To the point that the Egyptians wouldn't drink the blood because of the taste. They didn't want it, wouldn't, for whatever reason. I wouldn't want to drink it either, would you? But you know what? Who did it affect? What's that? It affected the Egyptians, but it also affected the Israelites. You know who else it affected? Moses and Aaron. They were affected by it too. How many days did the scripture say that the water was turned to blood? Whole week, 7 days. 7 whole days. That's a while, isn't it? What did the Egyptians start doing? They started having to what? Dig in the sand along the river. And well, we know what sand will do. What will that do to that blood water? It's going to filter it out. All blood's got water in it, doesn't it? Made up of water, it's got water in it. That sand filters it out. They get water. But the magicians, think about this. This is what the world does. The world attempts to duplicate what God does. And all they did was took whatever other water they had and they turned it to blood. That didn't make a lot of sense, did it? See, no matter the prescription that the world will give you to fix your problem, all the world does for us is just add to our problems. Are you with me? No matter how you look at it. The world we live in, when we go the world's way and we take the world's advice and try to fix the problem, the world just keeps adding to our burden. It doesn't become a blessing. Even though Pharaoh's heart was hard. He said, see, my God, we can do the same thing y'all can do. We can do what you can do. We can do it as good as you can do it. But did that help anything? What did it do? It just made his heart harder toward the things of God, but didn't help them with the circumstances of needing water. Same thing with the frogs, right? The frogs come, the frogs just fill the land up. I mean, think about that. Frogs everywhere. They said there was frogs in their oven. Tammy, you couldn't cook. Ma'am, you couldn't bake.
I wouldn't be alive. I'm mortified.
Frogs. They said frogs was in their bed. You couldn't escape it. Everybody was attacked by the frogs. Now, there's something interesting in this that just, this is how we think when we act in foolish. Look in there. This is chapter 8. Real quick, and we'll go. Just want to close with this thought. Yeah, we'll pick up tonight where we leave off. What time we gather tonight, Carolyn? 5:00. We'll have daylight tonight, won't we? When we leave. So think about it. You got frogs everywhere. Look in verse number 7 of chapter 8. The magicians duplicated, but only added to their misery. Verse 7 says, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs of the land of Egypt. Why you want more frogs? Why you want to add problems on problems? Remember that. That's just what the world does. That's the only thing the world can do. It's just add to the trouble. Add to the trouble. Add to the trouble. The world is never our solution on how to walk with and get ourselves out of this judgment of God. Verse 8, then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat. That word entreat means to what? What is it? What is he asking him to do? Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let thy people go, and they shall sacrifice to the Lord. The word entreat, this is chapter 8 and verse number 8. What does that mean? To what? To seek, to pray. To pray. To pray, to entreat. Verse 9 of chapter 8 of the book of Exodus says this, and Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you and your servants and your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses that they may remain in the river only. Basically saying, I'm going to put it in your hands. What do you want me to do? When do you want me to pray? Exodus 8 in verse number 9. What does Pharaoh say in verse number 10? So Pharaoh asked him to do what? When? Ah. Don't you think he would have said, can you do it right now? See, but that's the answer that the world approaches. Give me one more night. Let me have one more look. Let me have one more drink. Let me have one more hit. Let me have one more. See, he asked for one more night with the frogs. It don't make sense, does it? I mean, if you were in that position, see, that's the thing. He knew he was in trouble. He knew he was in a burden. He knew he couldn't get out of this. But why not just say, you can do something about it right now. You brought them here. Your God brought them, and he brought them just like that. He can take them away just like that. But you know what he said? Give me one more night with the frogs. See, that's how you approach the things when you come from the world's perspective. Well, give me one more week and I'll come. Give me one more night and I'll get things straight tomorrow. Well, you know what happens when you do that? Moses dealt with the frogs, and as soon as the frogs were dealt with, you know what? Pharaoh said, we can keep going on with this game, and he didn't let them go. You see, one more night with the frogs don't make a whole lot of sense when all the nights before only led up to misery. Cut it off. Ask God to deliver. Break it away. Walk away from it. Get out of it. Leave it behind. Don't wait till tomorrow. Let's do it right now. Amen. Because if you keep waiting till tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, all you're going to get, you know what you're going to wind up getting? Another excuse to keep doing what you've been doing. That's what's going to wind up happening. And it does with all. Have y'all ever been there before? Well, I'm going to start that diet when? Oh! Well, I'm going to start reading my Bible. Look, if it's on your heart, do it right now. While you can, amen? Get in it right now. It's just as living right now as it will be tomorrow. Get in it right now. Get on it right now. Do it right now. And of course, now, we can't do everything right now, but when you're dealing with a situation like this, this is what we have. Just one more look, one more taste, one more drink, one more. And it just leads to problem after problem after problem. And, you know, God honored. But there was a consequence to that. What do we have here? The scripture says, verse 13 of chapter 8, so the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And aren't you glad God can do it just according to the word? All he's got to do is do it. Amen. The word that is proclaimed and spoken has that authority. It can, it does, it will. And it says that God did it according to the word of Moses, and the frogs did what? They died. They died out of the houses and out of the courtyards and out of the fields, and they gathered them up together in heaps, but the land stank. Dead frogs stink. There's a consequence. Bad choices, they stink, don't they? You ever been there before? They stink. When the stench lasts longer than the pinch of the nose. This is what we have here. It stunk. It stunk. It was a stench. The lingering stench of these choices. Verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, not from the stench, but from the frogs, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. So what do we do with that? How do we approach some of these things? Have you ever made some choices that you look back on that you're still smelling? They stink. Some choices you've made or made with people or things, they still linger around. We want to use everything as teachable moments, and all God's people said. Not only teachable moments in my life, but I want to learn from the mistakes. When Miss Barbara, Mr. Billy make a mistake and I see a mistake, I want to be able to learn from that. Y'all want to be able to learn from my mistake. That's just being wise. And how do you deal with situations, for an example, when people, there's still a lingering stench that surrounds your journey because of some poor choices in your past? What do you do? I believe the only thing you can do is just confess and come clean that this stench, I want you to remember it so that you don't have to smell it in your own journey down the road by some of the mistakes that I've made in my past, of some of the things that I've been doing or did or didn't do that I could have done or should have done, didn't do, that are still lingering. Just remember. And make some better, wiser choices. I've learned through it, even though the stench still walks with me, even though there's a heap of frogs that are there that are still lingering, God, you can help somebody else not go down the same path I journeyed and made some of the same choices I've made and some did the same things I did, to have this stench continue on. I'll have to embrace the stench. But I can help somebody else from ever having to get themselves in that position themselves also. Are you with me? It's really the only thing we can do. That's just coming clean and just reminding people of the importance of taking God at His word, trusting Him, honoring Him, and praising Him, even when the stench lingers. That I can learn from it, and I can help somebody else walk in His wisdom. Amen? That I can help them too. But Pharaoh, he kept pushing back, didn't he? Kept pushing back. You know what that leads to? Well, that leads to the lice. And you think about that. Lice. Y'all say that word with me one time. Lice. Lice. Y'all say it again with me. Lice. Any of y'all ever had lice? Some of y'all want to itch right now, ain't you? Lice. You know, lice will make your skin crawl a little bit, won't it? You see, we're dealing with the water, the taste. We're dealing with the stench of these frogs and these problems. And now we're dealing with the fact that this lice is about to attack them. You ever been through some stuff that made your skin crawl? Might not have been lice, but it was something that deeply affected you physically. Want to use it all. Want to learn from it all. Want to use it to be a blessing to other people. Amen? Want to learn. Does good things happen to bad people? Every day. A lot of good stuff. Does bad things happen to good people? Do we have hope as long as we have life? Yes. Do we have to wait till tomorrow? Can we do something right now? Can we trust and just say, God, take me. Use me right now. I'm before you right now. What do we do with the old stench? You know, those stenches, no matter how you look at it, things we smell jar our memory again and again and again and again. It doesn't take long. Brandon dropped off some, boy, I smelled the crawfish before he got here. It took me back. It take me back. I was popping those heads on those things, sucking those heads, hitting those tails yesterday. Man, I was 12 years old again. Eating that sausage and those corn. Those smells will take you back. Mr. Billy brought me some liver the other day. Remind me sitting at the table with my mom. Me and my mama's the only one ate liver in the house, but she'd make it for me every so often. My daddy was a big old fella, loved to eat, could eat and eat and eat, but he didn't like liver. But mama would cook me some calf liver, and she would saute it down in onions, and just me and her, we'd be the only ones eat it. She'd do pork chops or something like that for them, and I'd get to eat liver and pork chops. I got the blessing. Are you with me? Just take you back. Take you back. Smells. Taste. So help people remember that. Every time they smell a stench on your life, that when they start to recognize it down the road in somebody else, it draws them back to what got that person to that place, and they don't have to make the same mistakes that they made. Amen? We can help people. We can help people. Father, we thank you today and bless you and praise you. I pray for our folks today. I pray blessings upon them and ask you to help them, that we can look to you, that we can recognize up front that walking through this world is not easy. It's going to be challenging. It's not going to work out our way all the time. But you've made a promise that you would be with us, that you are for us, and that when we have you with us and all heaven behind us, what can come against us that is going to stop what you're going to do in and through our lives? Doesn't mean it won't be easy, but you promised us that you would deliver us in and through and out of it all. So we trust you. We praise you. We're going to cling to you and thank you. And we're going to thank you for what you're doing, and that we have life right now, and that we can put our hope in you, and that we want to be upfront and honest with you and ourselves and those around us, so that our hope is not deferred, but that we can cling to you and praise you through the trouble. As the waters were blood for the Israelites, how they handle it would be a message to these Egyptians. When they had to deal with the frogs, it would be a message to these Egyptians. Same way with us. When we go through troubles in life, when we go through the sicknesses and the hardships and the bad things, how we deal with it speaks. It speaks. And what we speak, we pray it is of you. So help us guard our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.